This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day. Also, keep in mind, we're going to be playing a Nelly song coming up this hour. That will be your cue to call 970-353-1310 to win a pair of tickets for tonight's concert. Nelly with Graham Barham. These are hot ticket items. You're going to want to check. You're going to want to try to at least win these because a lot of people are going to be there tonight. It's going to be a party at the Greeley Stampede. Mercury's Thomas suspended one game for shot to Clark's throat. I don't know if you saw the video of this. Clark landed hard on the floor. And then Phoenix Mercury forward Alyssa Thomas went down and, like, shoved her fist into Caitlin Clark's throat. She did receive a flagrant foul 2 penalty and a 1-game suspension, so they recalled it. They came back and said she got a flagrant 2 penalty and a 1-game suspension for recklessly making contact with her fist to the throat area of Indiana guard, Fever guard, Caitlin Clark. Now, their coach, Stephanie White, before this was handed out, went off on the officials for not calling what she deemed 2 cheap shots on Caitlin Clark during their 119-109 loss to the Phoenix Mercury. White said Wednesday's game continued a pattern of Clark being officiated differently than the rest of the WNBA players. We have a generational talent and a WNBA superstar who had 2 cheap shots against her right there that weren't called. Absolutely unacceptable. Yeah, that's... I mean, it's not good. It's not a good look. WNBA continues to befuddle me, Michael. They will not embrace their historically. This is the best thing that's ever happened to WNBA. That's why we're talking about it. Like, you can argue all day. There were great players before. There will be great players after. Sure. But Caitlin Clark is one of those that comes along, and she is larger than life. She's like a Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, those type of players that we just can't get enough of.
Yeah, so I just don't understand that. I really don't. I think it's one of those, like, I'll admit that sometimes I do it because I think it's funny, but she is so popular that people hate her. And I'll do that sometimes too. Something's popular, so I'll pretend to hate it. But this hurts them significantly. It's yeah. Less about the play on the floor that people hate. It's becoming a circus. It really is becoming a circus.
Yeah,
it hurts all the
athletes.
She
is officiated differently. There's no question. Just from what I've heard and read now, again, keep in mind, I like to be honest on this show, Michael. I'm not sitting down and watching WNBA games, at least at this stage. It's Rockies or, yeah, World Cup for me right now. I'm becoming a soccer snob. You're welcome, everybody. Football, and you say nil. You don't say zeros. You say nil. If it's a zero, you say nil.
In tennis, it's love.
That's tennis. So I saw this, too. There's a WNBA poster that's honoring their 30th anniversary. It's a poster, okay? And I saw several sports personalities going off on this. Famous sports personality, radio host Colin Cowherd, just went off. And using that as another example as to why the WNBA is just not owning up to or not taking ownership of their biggest superstar. Now, Mike, Just like I wanted to research Turkey and why the name change or why the name pronunciation change, I researched this last night. Because in my brain, I thought this poster, this is too obviously bad. This one is so bad that to not put your star on a poster, it would be like the NBA not putting LeBron James on their posters or Steph Curry or Shea. So a lot of fans were upset. A lot of fans blasted the WNBA for excluding Caitlin Clark on its 30th anniversary poster. There's a lot of other players on there. Past, present players were featured. Asia Wilson, Lisa Leslie, Angel Reese, Paige Beckers, Becky Hammond, and Brenna Stewart are some of the players that are in it. There are some other players that aren't. Sue Bird was not on this poster. Now, a quick Google search will tell you that Caitlin Clark herself was the reason she's not on the poster. Darren Ravel posted on X, the Indiana Fever superstar guard, herself was the reason. Her NIL deal likely included that only her name and number can be used, preventing the WNBA from adding her image. Fans can now put the false claims and assumptions about her snub to rest. So that apparently was a licensing rights issue rather than a snub by the league or Wincraft, who put the poster together, the Fanatics-owned company that produced and sells the poster. Clark's endorsement deal and contracts restrict the commercial use of her likeness to specific partners, primarily Nike, meaning licenses can generally only use her name and jersey number for commercial products. So that's just an example of, yes, it's bad. It does feel like Caitlin Clark is getting treated poorly. But here's an example of, this is actually not an example. This is an example of telling you that it's not always what it seems. So the poster thing was more because of her contracts that she has outside of whoever created this poster. And so it was just, it's important to know these things. It's important to dive in and figure these things out.
I'm not comparing these two exactly, but like if the NFL did not embrace Tom Brady, that would hurt the NFL. Like,
right.
They're not embracing one of their best players in her youthful career.
Yeah, but the poster thing is excluded from this.
Yeah, this is like, I just don't understand why they would do this.
It's very much a, Mike, you know why I joke and call myself hockey guy throughout? Because I'm not really a hockey guy. I like hockey. I am not as knowledgeable on the sport as a lot, even people here in this building. But I enjoy it. But when you start coming in and suddenly inserting your opinions into hockey, a lot of hockey guys come at you and say, you don't know what you're talking about. You haven't talked hockey all year. Now suddenly you're talking about it during the playoffs. It's kind of like that crowd. The WNBA and their long-term fans don't like the fact that Brady or Michael are talking about their sport and Caitlin Clark because they get a little guarded. They take possession of the sport that they love, and they want to say it's like the Tebow stuff. Like, how many random Broncos fans did you never hear from until Tebow stormed onto the scene and suddenly they were experts on football? It drove you crazy a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, and I agree with that, and I think it's okay to be that type of fan, to be like, hey, where were you? Where were you the last 20 years? But the difference is these snubby fans aren't thinking. They're not thinking. They're not looking at these plays and going, it's
I look at it and say, is it helping your game? Because if your game grows because of Caitlin Clark, then there's more people going to the games. There's more games televised. There's more advertising around those games. There's more money going into the league to make it better. And you only make the sport overall better. And so there's a lot of that. So I do think those comparisons actually check out. Because, Mike, the Tebow days drove me nuts. And it wasn't necessarily Tebow. It was the fan base around Tebow.
That's what made it work.
You had people divided on whether or not it was a good idea to bring Peyton Manning to Denver. Like, think about that for a second. John Elway was on a recent podcast saying the only guy we could get to justify moving off of Tim Tebow was Peyton Manning. Like, that's the only way this was going to work. And when that happened, I was so thankful. Because I love the things Tim Tebow's about. I love what he does. He does some really good heart, like, very important, intense work. But as far as watching him play football, he had great athleticism. Excellent player. But the fan base freaked out, and suddenly there were Broncos fans that you never see post anything. Broncos would win, and it would just be like, yeah, Tebow. And you got people that grew up watching John Elway and Brian Griese and Jake Plummer and Jay Cutler and those guys play. And we've been up and down with this team our whole lives. And then you get suddenly people that are just there because they liked Tim Tebow in college and they like who he is as a person. And suddenly he can do no wrong, very much like a Coach Prime type of effect. I think you see Buffs fans, diehard Buffs fans, are starting to get a little irritated about that too. Like all these new Prime fans, they don't know who Philip Lindsay is. They don't know who Cordell Stewart is. They don't know who a lot of these great Buffs are. They just know Coach Prime. So I think there's a lot of that going on in the WNBA where it's like, we've been here for 30 years and you're just now talking about us. But there is that fine line of let people embrace your sport. If they're only watching because Caitlin Clark, then go shine in the games against Caitlin Clark. Don't punch her in the throat. Out-duel her. Outscore her. Outshine her.
And I have no problem with them playing a little tough with her, with them playing a little extra tough. Like that I have no problem with. If you're taking cheap shots, that's a problem. And anybody who's been a WNBA fan for many years who's okay with that, they're losing their credibility. Like, there's a difference between playing a little tougher. That's fine. She was a rookie. This is her second year. Humbler, just a third year?
Third or second?
I thought it was second.
Could be.
Anyway, like, there's a difference between that and just flat out taking cheap shots. You don't see that in the NFL. You don't really see that in any other sport. Okay, third year.
38-1 now. You're losing ground.
38-1.
I'm up 38-1 in things about things that I got right this week compared to the things you got right this week.
Oh, I got so many things right. You just didn't hear them.
Nah, they weren't right.
I'm so far above.
How do you feel about the Colorado Avalanche trading away Big Val? Val Nichushkin is going to the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Avalanche acquired a 2026 second-round pick, 43rd overall from St. Louis via Pittsburgh, as well as Columbus's 2027 third-round pick and 2029 fifth-round pick for now 31 years old.
How much was Val making? Because if you're going to clear, you're going to move out Val, some of it, I don't know. I don't think he's worth a first-rounder. I thought they got a decent take for him. They next 3 years, they have some draft
picks. He was about like $6 to $7 million. He signed an 8-year contract after the Stanley Cup year, so he was just right in the middle of that. He signed through 2030, and he's at $6.1 million. That's his cap hit. There's no question he's been going down. Like Mike, there for a moment though, he was a stud. You know what he was able to do in the Stanley Cup run. That year in 2022, he had 9 goals and 6 assists in 20 games. If it wasn't for Cale Makar being Cale Makar, Val could have been the star of that playoff run. But I guess, how will you remember Val Nichushkin? Will you remember him for that and the cup run and being a part of this historic team? Because anytime you win a cup, it's historic. Or will you remember him for more of the things like what happened in Seattle, or him getting when he left the team for personal reasons and didn't return to the Dallas series? Will you remember those kind of things?
I will remember a little bit of both. The booger sugar, I'll remember more of a joke. But as far as taking it seriously, he really did add to this team. He is going downhill. Maybe a fresh start.
Do you look at him at all and say, if he hadn't, now, do you think they could have won a cup if he would have stayed in that Seattle series and won back-to-back?
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Think so?
And
you
think
they might have had a chance last year?
Discombobulated them.
Or 2 years ago, do you think they might have had a chance when they lost to Dallas?
I mean, I think they had a chance all these years. It's just there are times, there are some goalies that play really well against the Avalanche or some teams the Avalanche struggle with.
Do you put blame on him for not, essentially not getting more out of, so far, the Nathan McKinnon, Cale Makar dynasty? Do you,
I think he
do
could
you
be
put blame
better.
On him? Do you put blame on, well, it's not just that he didn't play
it's
better,
not
he didn't
all
play.
The blame.
He didn't play. He was rolling in those playoffs that second year because he was rolling in the first year, too, in 2022. And then the next year, he was rolling. And then you had the Seattle thing.
Yeah,
it was during game three of their first round playoff series against the Kraken. Police and medical personnel were called to the team hotel. Not during game three, but it was right around that time. And he was red hot in those playoffs. And then they found a heavily intoxicated, nearly unconscious Russian woman in his hotel room. We still don't have all the details on that. So you say like the booger sugar stuff, and I think that's like an unwritten thing, you know, amongst Avs fans and Colorado sports fans. We still really don't know what happened there. And then 2024, it was a stage three suspension. He entered the player assistance program in January of 24, missing several weeks to receive care shortly after returning. And you know, hours before game four of the second round series against the Dallas Stars, the NHL announced that Nichushkin had violated stage three of the player assistance program. And that resulted in a minimum 6 month suspension without pay. So you could look at it negatively and say, that those things that happened during those two playoff runs might have, if they wouldn't have happened, could we be talking about another Stanley Cup, at least for the Avalanche? Certainly the year they lost to the Kraken.
I think there's a huge difference between going down with an injury and going down with something
this.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously.
I think going down with the injury, you can still, like, you're going, okay, I'm worried about my dude, I'm worried about my buddy, but we can still win. Like, this suspension thing probably pissed off a lot of Avalanche players, and they were also worried about his health, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that, unfortunately, will tarnish a portion of his legacy. I think he can get over it, but
who
this trade is
do you
trade.
Think he's viewed as, and I'm saying it in sports terms, do you think he's viewed as, you know, like hated by many Avalanche fans?
I don't think he's hated by Avalanche players. I don't
no,
think
fans.
He's hated by fans.
I think it's just it's a really scattered, like, okay, here, who in 10 years from now, who's going to be least liked in the state of Colorado? Carmelo Anthony or Valeri Nichushkin?
Always Carmelo.
See, and that's because all because Val or Carmelo wanted a trade because they were losing in the first round. Now, was he a part of the losing? Yes. He wasn't necessarily putting a team on his back and leading them. But what he did was what we do in the business of sports. What Val did, we still don't know everything. And yeah, he probably did have some kind of problem and some kind of addiction, but he did it during the playoffs, and it cost his teammates and coaches and the fans another shot or two at a Stanley Cup.
But look at the difference between fan bases, like basketball and hockey. There's a lot of difference, both culturally and also popularity-wise. The Avalanche aren't nearly as popular as the Nuggets. Like, the Avalanche could win 5 championships in a row. The Nuggets will still be more popular because
of
the
sport. But there's a lot of people that are Avs and Nuggets fans. There's a lot of people in the state that are both.
Yeah,
and so
I think,
to view Melo, he's like he's the bad guy, because we're talking about like scattered, spotty legacies in Colorado sports, and those two guys, for completely different reasons, have those legacies.
Yeah, and I know there are those people out there who get mad at somebody because they're always hurt. No, Sean Marino used to be called No Show Marino because he'd always get
that's not even
get hurt.
That's not to me. That's not a spotty legacy.
It's because he didn't have much of a legacy, but
yeah.
That's more of a criticism on fans. And I can be like this: if someone wants a trade, out of the state of Colorado, like, I kind of get this you're dead to me feeling in my head.
I don't, because that, there was a part of me that kind of thought Todd Helton should ask for a trade, you know, and he didn't. And I respect him for not. I do. But I wouldn't have disrespected him had he said, you know, I want to go win. I want to go somewhere where I have like 2 or 3 years of a consistent shot to win. Now, again, you could argue Melo in the NBA, one star player, can lead a team to win more. Melo was never a top. He was a very good scorer. Maybe at times was the best scorer in the league, but he wasn't. I don't think anybody ever considered Carmelo Anthony to be one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, I think overall he was probably, I don't want to say bust because I don't think that's the
right term. He wasn't bust.
I think he was a disappointment. Because
yeah, he was,
the expectations of what he was supposed to bring.
Maybe.
He didn't bring the expectations that people wanted.
Maybe. I just don't know if anybody really believed that the Nuggets were going to win a championship with Carmelo Anthony. He's not, I mean, the difference between Melo and Joker, it's night and day. Because Joker is otherworldly. He's like the LeBron Jameses and Steph Currys of the world. Melo is like really good player, but not the kind of guy that can put a team on his back and say, let's go win a game. Faith says, didn't have Michael saying booger sugar on my bingo card today. Or you. I said it because you said it. Is that what it's called? The booger sugar?
Booger sugar refers to cocaine.
I know what it refers to. I'm saying, is that what it's called?
No, I've never heard that. I think it's called cocaine.
Did you just come up with?
But I've heard booger sugar, the term, before. It's more of a comical comment.
I've heard of nose candy. I've heard
nose
it called candy's nose
good,
candy.
But booger sugar's funnier.
I've never heard booger sugar.
You haven't?
No. Sorry, I'm not in those circles. I'm not in those circles.
Well, I party a lot. I'm very popular.
Yes.
Now, like I've heard that it's nose candy's probably a little more popular of a joking term. I just think booger sugar's a lot funnier.
Anyway, so as much as I could talk about that all day,
Angel Dust.
Val Nichushkin, how will I look at him? I'm more opposite of you, I think. I look at him and say, that was a great player that couldn't get out of his own way, and it cost a lot of great players chances to win. I mean, they probably should have won a Stanley Cup back-to-back, and they probably beat the Kraken with him playing.
But you're more of a basketball fan.
Why does that matter?
How does that matter?
How does that matter?
Well, you focus more on the Nuggets,
I'm failing to see the connection between me being more of a basketball fan than a hockey fan. Insert basketball player to do the exact same thing as Val. Aaron Gordon does the same thing, and then they trade him. I would view Aaron Gordon the exact same way.
I think you're a lot more open-minded, though. To your credit, I think you're a lot more, like a lot of fans are just going to be, well, I hate this guy now, and I think you look at it more logically.
If Aaron Gordon
emotion.
Did the same thing as Valeri Nichushkin, and the Nuggets didn't win, that's why they got one of the reasons they got eliminated the next year after winning a title, I would have viewed Aaron Gordon the same way. 100%. There's plenty of those examples that I could say. Melo's different because he did not do anything off the court to jeopardize his chances of winning and being available for his team.
Yeah, and I think he does receive some unfair.
I think he does.
Like a lot of unfair hatred. Like, he was super popular.
But I don't think me being more of a basketball fan has anything to do with my take toward Valeri Nichushkin. That's how I view it. Did he have a serious situation going on? I'm sure he did. That doesn't change the facts, though. That doesn't change where if he didn't do what he did, and we still don't really know what happened in Seattle. We don't know. I mean, we know a woman said there was a bad person kind of after her that had taken her passport and she shouldn't have come to the United States. People didn't know what that was all about. I mean, seriously, there were people talking about what was human trafficking stuff. Was Val helping her? We don't know, Mike. We just don't know. But based on what we know, because you don't get into stage 4, you know, of the. Or stage 3 suspension without doing something kind of bad, and we just assume it's got to be something that messed with his judgment. And so I do look at his legacy more from the standpoint of not selfish necessarily, but if he stayed away from all of that, this team might have another cup. And the pressure on Bed. I mean, we're talking jobs, man. Bednar might have lost his job this year, but if he had another cup, then that obviously gives him gives a fan base and management even more patience with him.
I think hatred on both sides, it's more logical that Val receives the hatred. But I think overall basketball fans, generic sports fans, for some reason there is that hatred because it's seen as less. Like, Val was never like, I want to get out of Colorado. So I think the loyalty factor or the perceived loyalty factor causes a lot of this.
Yeah, I disagree with you on the whole connection of, like, being a basketball fan, you view things differently. I mean, it's I don't care if you're a football player, basketball, hockey, baseball, whatever. You do something like that, then yeah, I'm going to have more. Melo, it doesn't stand out in my mind, the trade. It's part of it, but what stands out more for me with Melo, and again, we're talking best player on the team, and Val was one of the top players of the team, but I tend to view Melo coming in, once he was drafted, taking an organization that was irrelevant in the NBA to at least being a playoff team every single year. That's where I lean more. I tend to go to the negative.
I think that the hatred, if you do hate Val more than Melo, I think that is valid because of what happened.
And again, but when we say hatred, it's like sports hate. Come on, you know, like it's not hate.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, sports hate. I don't see hate in your eyes.
Thank you.
But with Melo, it's more about the loyalty. People are like, you don't want to be loyal to my team? Even though it might have been the best thing for him maybe to move. Maybe he wasn't having a good situation there.
Well, and if you go read George Carl's book, it doesn't really sound like he and George Carl were great friends. And George Carl at the time wasn't going anywhere. So I think there were a lot of things. And obviously his wife, she wanted to go to New York and live her dreams out and stuff. And then, you know, that was kind of part of his decision. Plus, he played college at Syracuse. So, I mean, it all kind of made sense. It sucked. I hated it. But it did kind of make sense. 33 minutes after the hour, Mike, we got to take a break here. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, the dude down the hall will join us. Also, be listening. Stay close to your radios. Don't go anywhere because we're going to be playing a Nelly song very soon. That'll be your cue to call, 970-353-1310. And you're going to get a pair of tickets to tonight's concert in Greeley at the Stampede. Nelly with Graham Barham at 8 o'clock. We'll be right back.
Baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, the Fort Collins Foxes. You've heard us talk a lot about this team, a collegiate summer baseball team. They have plenty of amazing players from all over the world to play at Fort Collins to spend their summer. High level of baseball, very, very good. And this year's team has several Division I all-conference players on the team. And you guys got to check out some tickets here. You got to look at the schedule coming up. They're playing. They played last night, and they'll play tonight as well against the Liberal BEE Jays. I like to spell that out for some of you. And then they got the Denver Generals will be their next home game on June 27th, so tomorrow night. So awesome time, family fun environment. That's Fort Collins Foxes. Check them out online at FortCollinsFoxes.com if I can spit that out. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Mike, coming up in the later on in the show, we're going to give away those Nelly tickets, so be sure to pay attention whenever this Nelly song is on. That means call. Call. That'll give you your opportunity to call in 970-353-1310. Thanks to our wonderful sponsor of these ticket giveaways, Interior Sprinkler Systems. You can find them online at interiorsprinkler.com. Is anybody going out to the Nelly concert tonight? I mean, I would like to. Not really. I don't go to a lot of concerts anymore, and if I do, it's going to be rock concerts. But Nelly, man, dude, that when I was in high school, Nelly was like the man. I mean, everything he was doing was great, very entertaining. So this should be a really fun show tonight.
Because he's coming to the Greeley Stampede, that's how I found out about him. I didn't know that any of those famous songs of his were his songs.
But you knew of the songs.
I knew of the songs. Yeah. I just had no idea who Nelly was.
Yeah, he had a lot of bangers back in the day, man. He was good. And maybe he still is. I don't know if he does new stuff or not. But he's also an actor. He was in The Longest Yard, Adam Sandler's version. I can't say that he was, you know, tremendous in that movie, but Adam Sandler basically just hired a bunch of his favorite celebrities to be in that movie, like wrestlers and former players and things like that. So it was a weird movie. Did you like it? Did you like The Longest Yard? We're not reviewing that.
I have not seen it.
Mm. It's okay.
I saw a clip. Yeah. So I saw Michael Irvin.
Yeah, Michael.
Do something.
I'm
he
telling
was
you.
Fouling.
I'm telling you, it's like Adam Sandler's favorite football and basketball players were in it. And favorite wrestlers were in it. Like, there was like 14 different wrestlers in it. Several players, and then Nelly and a few other celebrities. It was just a big celebrity grab for that movie. 12:40 the time, Mike. Again, pay attention. When you hear Nelly, that is your cue to call 970-353-1310. Mike, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
That's good, man.
What caller number are we doing?
Whatever. That's your cue to call. 970-353-1310. You tell me. Why do you fade that down so fast?
Caller number one.
Caller one?
Yes.
All right. We'll call for the Nelly tickets right now, tonight at 8 o'clock with Graham Barb. See, you did call one, and like it's done. It's over. They're already calling. It's crazy. Should be a fun time tonight. Hope you guys had a chance to listen to Brian Gary and Tanner Schwinn and Cody Wilson with Denver Front Range Weather on Rodeo Radio last night, thanks to Lemons Heating and Cooling. That was, dude, they have so much fun doing that. And I mean, they know enough about rodeo, but it's really the entertainment purposes. And that was fun last night. I had that on in the background while I was watching Turkey A and Team USA play soccer, but listening to the fellas on Rodeo Radio last night was a lot of fun. So if you can't make it out to the rodeo at any point during the Stampede, be sure to listen to the guys because it's a blast. Let me tell you about Big City Roadhouse. They have TVs everywhere. So if you're looking for World Cup action, you want to watch the biggest players on the biggest screens, on the biggest stages, then you got to go to Big City Roadhouse. Grab yourself a beverage. It's Friday. Games are starting up soon. And just, you know, hunker down. Have a fun weekend at Big City Roadhouse. And, of course, we're going to be out there next Friday for our hot dog eating contest. And I will be in this. Brian Gary has challenged me. Several of our awesome listeners have challenged me to this battle, and we're finally going to find out what I'm made of, which might be primarily hot dog after next Friday, Michael.
after you eat those four hot dogs and give up afterwards?
I'm going to easily get four. There is zero question about that.
You're going to easily get four, and then you're going to be full.
No, I'm going to hit five. The goal is 10. A hot dog per minute. I think I can make it happen. I just got a text from the folks over at Big City Roadhouse, too, and they're very excited, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait.
What do they think you're going to be able to eat?
Well, I don't know.
Probably four.
You saw how I handled that gigantic breakfast burrito. I put that thing away.
Yeah, you put it away over a half hour.
The thing didn't stand a chance. Well, that's different, though. A burrito's harder to eat. And those things are massive, and there's so much food inside those burritos that you can't scarf that down in a minute, Mike.
I did notice that you had to take your belt off. You had to undo it just a bit after that burrito, which makes me think you can only eat four hot dogs.
No. It's going to be great. So I hope the Hooligans will come out. And hang out with us, too, because it's the day before Independence Day. So maybe you get off work a little bit early and come out and hang with us, because it's going to be great. Tanner Schwint and Derbs will be broadcasting live the very first hot dog eating contest on KFKA.
And I will be making puns on the air with them.
You can.
From this room.
You will be muted that day. 12:48 the time. We'll wrap up hour number two. Coming up, we continue our Derbs, Brady, and Michael review sports movies throughout the summer because there's not as many things going on segment on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Invincible with Mark Wahlberg. Start it, bench it, or cut it. We'll find out together in the final hour of the show. We'll be right back.
Keep it on KFKA for your chance to win Stampede concert and rodeo tickets, thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems.
Hey, everybody, this is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
.12:54, welcome back into The Hull Show live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Coming up, we continue with the movie review. Michael, you did your homework. You watched the movie Invincible, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
You didn't?
I did. I did. I watched it very late at night.
I watched it late last night.
I had to do bull riding.
You were bull riding?
Yeah, I was one of the contestants. The mud was awful.
All right. Well, we're going to find out. And new rules that everybody loves. You only get five starters in this deal. So is Invincible good enough of the movies we've done or will do to be an obvious starter for you? Or are you benching it? Or do you consider cutting it? Is it just not a good movie? And this was done in 2006, so it was a while ago. Mark Wahlberg.
That was right about the year.
It'll be fascinating to see what we all kind of think on this movie.
By the way, what if I think it's good enough to trade for a draft pick?
No, we're not making it more complicated, Adam Silver. The new rule is we already put it in effect last week, and it's a great rule. Everybody loves it, and we'll be excited to put that rule to the test coming up. You only get five starters. Yes, you do. Coming up, we've got the official a movie review coming up, and Derbs will be in studio as well. He's done every one of these. He doesn't miss. Derbs is the most consistent of movie reviewers. He's like Siskel and Ebert combined. He's that good. So we'll bring him in the studio.
Except he's alive.
Coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.